Nathan Zagura joins us right now. He's on the fan hotline. Hello, Nathan.
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Doing well.
Ask him, Kenny.
What?
Ask him about Miles.
I got to ask him? All right, hold on. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors to ask him. Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, you got to ask him. 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 Yeah.
It's kind of a two-part. The first part is Myles Garrett. Could he go down in history as the best Brown ever?
That's not the actual question, but still answer it. Nathan, please.
I think he could go down in history as the best defensive Cleveland Brown ever. I think Jim Brown is probably...
Thank you.
Jim Brown is considered the greatest football player of all time, regardless
still
of...
Kiss my ass, Nathan.
People outside of Cleveland, do they say that? I don't hear that one anymore.
When the NFL Network, and it was within the last couple of years, did a countdown of the 100... It was probably for the 100th anniversary of the NFL, so that's in, what, the last 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
They did a countdown of the 100 greatest players of all time, and number one was Jim Brown.
You'd put him ahead of Tom Brady. He only had 9 years, Jim Brown.
You, first of all, now you're changing the whole narrative.
Tom Brady's had two Hall of Fame careers.
You're talking about the Browns.
Tom Brady played in different
eras. I'm just telling you what was on NFL Network, that he was number one. So either way, he's number one or number two all time, if you want to argue for Tom Brady. That's going to make it hard for him to be anything other than the greatest Brown of all time.
Okay, so now are you going to ask him the other question?
What was the second question?
Would he trade him for two first-round picks? I thought that was going to be the question.
I didn't want to ask him.
Come on.
What?
No, first of all, he's untradeable. Second of all, he's the best player we've got.
We know that.
So, no, we're not trading him for two first-round picks.
But a lot of people are going back in the history going, oh, what could we have got? Now, it's been my contention, and if people think this is a cop-out, fine, but I don't think it is. He is going on 30 this year. I don't know if we would have got two first-round picks. They wouldn't have been high picks because the only teams that are trading for him are contenders like the Green Bay Packers. It was interesting, though. I never heard about Green Bay that might be in the market for him when it came
there
to
were, there's a couple people on Twitter that had it like a week ago, like random people. And they were like, watch, he's going to the Packers because it showed up in my For You feed, which on X right now is a disaster place. People were talking Packers a couple weeks ago. And so, yeah, amazing. Huge deal. I was kind of shocked. I thought that, Jerry would get it done. But, Jerry Jones, I've come to learn, is watching the America's Team documentary, which I think is unbelievable television. And I certainly would back Jerry Jones and the Jerry versus Jimmy saga after watching that. He's trying to make a move there. They get a good, very good player. Kenny Clark's a very good player. It's going to be two kind of later ones. So it'll be interesting to see kind of like ultimately how this one plays out. But they are thinking we just turned our biggest asset into three players, and one of whom was a proven commodity. I think Kenny Clark's at least a three-time Pro Bowler. So an interesting deal for sure. The Pack's going for it. That, I'll tell you what, the AFC North is loaded certainly at the top of it. The NFC North, I think, is loaded as well. That is a darn talented conference right there because you've got – the Detroit Lions, who have been, one of the best teams in that conference for the last couple of years. The Vikings are coming off of a very good season, and they believe in J.J. McCarthy. You've got the Bears, who are loaded up on offense with Ben Johnson now at the helm of it. And then the Pack, they got Jordan Love. They've got this defense, adding Micah Parsons to the mix. That is a tough division, top to bottom. Oh, guess what? We get to play them this year.
I was going to ask.
That's going to be a very interesting meeting there. Which, by the way, Nathan, I totally agree with you. The algorithm is broken because my For You has nothing but National Guard stuff and no Sarah J on it. And I don't understand it.
They don't know you.
It should be completely the other way. But that's more for coming in hot at 9:43.
Nathan Zagura
joining us on the Fan Hotline. So with this,
that might be my favorite moment ever being on this show, what you just said.
Thank you. There's been a lot of really good moments. Nathan,
we had about 5 years of them when Baker Mayfield was here.
we sure as hell did. I said that I'm taking the over on it. I was called a homer because I like the offensive line as of now. I know there's an injury history with your tackles, as Daryl wanted to argue with me about earlier, but I respected his opinion on that. I like the offensive line. I really like the front four. I'm hopeful for Carson Schwesinger, but because of, just history, my personal fandom history, I'm like, I'm not doing a cannonball over him yet. I'm like, man, this, okay, if we can line up and we can run the football and stop these stupid turnovers, we're going to be in a lot of these games with 2 minutes left to go. I just don't know if we're going to be outgunned with 2 minutes left to go in some of these games.
Yeah, I think, look, I think this Cleveland Browns team is going to surprise a lot of people. What that ultimately looks like, I'm not sure. But certainly people, I think, that are saying, you know, national pundits that are saying, Brown, oh, you're going to win three games if they're lucky. I couldn't disagree with that more. This defensive line, I think, has an opportunity to be the best defensive line in football, period, full stop. And if you can control that line of scrimmage, then you mentioned you liked our offensive line. I like it as well if they can stay healthy. If you can control the line of scrimmage, you're going to be in a lot of games. I do think we really need to get Quinshon Judkins back in here to truly be the type of running offense that we want to be. But I think having Joe Flacco at quarterback allows for you to be a little bit more pass-centric. We saw him throw for nearly 330 yards a game last time he was with us. But I'm with you in the sense that we're going to be a tough out. This, it's not going to be like, oh, we see the Browns on schedule, that's going to be easy. You're going to have to come. We are going to be a physical team. We're going to be an aggressive team. And I think we are going to surprise people. I think we're going to win games that people don't think we have any business winning. And where that ultimately ends out with the record, I'm not sure. But I sure as heck know it's going to be a lot better than it was last year.
Well, and this is why we were having the whole conversation this morning about Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. Because before, you know, I don't know with what Dallas is doing. I don't know if you can just circle number 11 and go, that guy can't beat us. That you have to scheme for, and that maybe you could open up everybody else. Well, we do have a guy in number 95 that they got to circle every single week and go, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? And now with Mason Graham, you're hoping, but again, it's early. We know what can he do with that. So that's why, you know, I agree with you in so many ways. But I do think, and this is going to be an interesting thing here, because we talked to Aditi Kinkabwala earlier this morning, and I think I've actually been getting the question wrong. I think a lot of us have been getting the question wrong. When Joe Flacco was announced as starter, it was immediately, how long's the leash on Joe? To the point he was asked the question. I don't know if it's the leash on Joe. It's like, okay, at what point do we hear talk about if Dillon Gabriel is ready to step into that starter role? Because, you know, we're trying to balance two things at once here, Nathan. It's hard. We're trying to win now, but we're also trying to figure out what we have so we can get ready for the future. It's a tough needle to thread.
It is, but I think that the priority one is winning now. So I think Joe Flacco, right, if Joe Flacco goes out there and we're 4-1, or, you know, I think as long as we're in the mix and Joe Flacco's playing well, I think Joe Flacco, if he has a great season, there's no reason why he couldn't start 17 games. Because that means we're winning. That means we're in playoff contention. I think that, yes, you want to thread that needle, but I think Dillon Gabriel's opportunity likely would only come in the event of an injury to Joe Flacco, or if we get to a point in the season where things are not going the way that we wanted them to go. And so now let's get some evaluation. Let's see Dillon Gabriel. Let's see how he develops. And then for Dillon Gabriel, when that time for him comes, his whole goal is to make sure that he gets to keep playing and you don't see a tranche of Shedeur Sanders. I think it's possible you can see all three this year. I certainly think that if Joe Flacco, though, plays well, and this is a Browns team that goes into the month of December in playoff contention, there's no reason to think that Joe Flacco still wouldn't be the quarterback at that time if he's playing well. And I think if we're in playoff contention and Joe Flacco's the quarterback, that means he is playing well.
Nathan Zagura with us, voice of the Browns. So I want to ask you about somebody that I get asked about the most when it comes to the Browns. You mentioned him at the end of that last response. That, of course, being Shedeur Sanders. How did you feel overall about the Shedeur Sanders experience up until now?
It's good. I think it's kind of a lot of maybe what people who understood the situation expected. And I think if you guys go back, obviously you guys know, a huge Shedeur fan, loved his tape. I was ready for us to take him in the first round. So I'm a total believer in his talent and his upside. Now, the things that I didn't know about or you guys didn't know about prior to the draft were some of the things in terms of his preparedness for the National Football League, things that he was not asked to do at Colorado that he's going to be asked to do in the NFL, and that he had actually a big period to play catch-up to get to those points where he could operate an NFL offense efficiently and consistently. And I think what we saw in the preseason was, oh man, this is what it could look like in Carolina. And then against the Rams, it's, okay, these are some of the things that we saw on tape at Colorado that we still need to work on. And so Shedeur Sanders, to me, still very much a work in progress, still somebody who, in my opinion, has a very quality starter in the NFL upside from his physical gifts, his ability to throw the ball where he wants to, when he wants to, his pocket movement, his poise, all of those things, but he's got to get rid of some of the bad habits. And then there's so much that goes into it in the meetings and in the whiteboards and understanding all of the things that you have to check and observe and make decisions in under 3 seconds in the National Football League, because you've got to operate quickly. You can't hold the ball as long as we certainly saw him hold the ball against the Rams. So there are things that he still needs to work on, but man, I really like the upside of Shedeur Sanders. I have from day one. I still do. I think that as long when he can kind of get the other stuff on the level of his physical talent, that's when Shedeur Sanders has a chance to be a really good starting quarterback in this league.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think that, and it's been a hard thing to talk about because, you know, I don't know if you've shared the same thing that we have online, Nathan, because he does have a strong fan base, and we've had three other guys with strong fan bases, and it's one day you're the hero of the city for what you say about Shedeur. The next day, depending on what you say, you're the biggest bastard who ever lived. Because I'm like, I like Shedeur. I like his upside. I do think, though, that I got to see it where I had to go back and say, hey, Dylan does seem to have a better better grip on the offense right now. He would be more ready to conduct the offense if things were to go. And I also think that while I think Shedeur Sanders' ceiling is higher, I stand by that. I also want to give him some chances to breathe here and go, okay, let's put you in the quarterback room. Let's give you whatever reps you can get, scout team, whatever it might be, and then get you ready as the season goes on. And let's take the spotlight away. Let's talk about Flacco. Let's talk about the Browns. Let's talk about winning games. And if it becomes your time here later on in the season, it becomes your time. Because, I'm ready to talk about actual chances to win against Cincinnati next week. I don't want to sit here and have these same arguments here. And I want to go a while before we start to have these arguments again.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Just for Shedeur just to be in the quarterback room, to be a part of the game planning process, and to understand the role that even a backup quarterback plays for your starter. So oftentimes, you know, they'll give them, all right, here's all their red zone looks, or you're going to take care of all their third down looks. You have to put together reports for the starter. That level of preparation is stuff that it just sounds like he was not asked to do at Colorado. And so getting those experiences, I think, are going to help immensely in the things that we all love about him, which is what we see when he's on the football field, when it's the good version of Shedeur, where he's in command, he knows what he's seeing, he's getting the football out, what we saw in Carolina. So I think that these are going to be very valuable weeks for him, understanding the level. And let me tell you something. I was talking with Joe Flacco yesterday. We had a really cool, it was a virtual season ticket member event, and I got to host it with Joe Flacco, Denzel Ward, and then with Coach Stefanski. And Joe was just talking about the preparation that it goes into it to be able to understand what you've seen pre-snap, post-snap, make a decision on where to go with the football, all in under 3 seconds while guys are trying to knock your block off. And he said the thing that makes it slow down, the things that makes it easy is the preparation. When you've got a lot of the answers to the test, you're able to execute at a much higher level. When you don't really know what you're looking at, you make bad decisions, and that's when you turn the football over. So I think that that experience for Shedeur to be in an NFL operation, going through a game planning week, preparing for an opponent, all the film breakdown, all the specific things that you go in to prepare for, knowing that in week one, especially with a new defensive coordinator in Al Golden, who's been at the college level, there's going to be some unscouted looks. They're going to put some things out there the Browns haven't seen before. But just that level of preparation, I think, is going to help Shedeur so much. And it's week after week of doing that and stacking it on top of it. And all of a sudden, I think you have an opportunity where he's going to have everything he needs off the field as a professional quarterback to be able to let the talents that are within him shine on the field. So I think this is a very good time for Shedeur Sanders. I think it was really hard because if you go back to February, when we're at the combine, everybody who's anybody in the NFL watched tape said he's a first rounder. Those who are like detractors, early second rounder, a lot of people thought he could go number two in the draft. In fact, you know, there was talk he's just going to go dictate where he went. And unfortunately, that is not how it played out. So there's still a perception of him, even though he was picked after Dylan Gabriel. And basically everybody in the National Football League, you know, let him go till pick number 144, till the Browns stopped that slide, that he's still day one starter ready. And the truth is he wasn't. Physically, gifts as a quarterback, absolutely. But there's so much more that goes into it. And I think this being immersed in this world for him is going to be so good. And I think ultimately the Browns are the ones who have the chance to kind of reap that reward.
turn this thing on. Nathan, thank you very much for the time. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week, getting you ready for the Bengals. Well, not getting you ready, getting everybody else ready for the Bengals and our Cleveland Browns.
I can't wait. I can't wait for this season to start. College football, big game, obviously, at noon tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun, the Bucks in Texas. And then we get into it. And now football's back, baby. I love it. Guys, thanks for having me. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you for joining us, Nathan. Nathan Zagura on the Fan Hotline, giving us the very latest thoughts on the Micah Parsons trade, as well as with Myles Garrett, that thought there.